Behold, a podcast for the ages. Recorded live from the interdimensional terror vortex of their subterranean dwellings comes the Rough House Podcast version 3.0. Two galactic warriors put down their warhammers and battle axes to perform a more noble task. Complaining about professional wrestling on internet-purchased microphones.
Now with more Simpsons references and Kota Ibushi thirst.
This is the Rough House Podcast with Marty and Christoph.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rough House Podcast, episode number 363, for recording date, March 31, 2024. Happy Easter, Chris.
Oh, yeah, is that today?
It turns out it is a bright and early Sunday morning that we are recording.
Too fucking bright. I was outside at an ungodly hour this morning, and the sun's just too fucking bright. Can we do something about that?
Yeah, listen, God, if you can turn that sunlight down just a smidge.
I mean, he already turned the sun, S-O-N, never mind. That's
two. Hey, that's the reason for the season there.
Hey, everybody. Hey.
Yeah, hey.
Happy zombie day.
Yeah. I'm Marty, by the way.
This is the sacrilegious Christoph over here.
This is a pro wrestling podcast, it turns out.
Sure.
Thanks, everybody, for joining. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you for those who are on the Patreon, patreon.com/roughhousepodcast. Last week's episode was a preview
of
what you can get on the Patreon.
That's the good shit right there. We gave it to you for free.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have time to record another episode.
the sad truth comes out. If you are a patron, we have a special all-zombie edition of A Rough House Divided, bi-weekly movie competition that Chris
Zombies
and I
March
do all year long. Yes.
In March. And it is still March. Hey, how it about is. That?
It, March going right in this March.
Guar should have played Zombies March last night, and they didn't. And I am disappointed.
Yes. Chris got to see Guar last night.
Yeah.
Recovering from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the shots of Jameson and the Natty Bows. And the fun part, well, aside from seeing Guar, is that there was a special person in attendance aside from myself. We bumped into to Nyla Beast, Nyla Rose, the Native Beast, Nyla Rose.
Yeah.
She was at the old Guar show up in Baltimore, for me, up for her, down for me, in Baltimore last night. So yeah, she was in a tan jumpsuit and got the full Guar experience, we'll call it.
That's awesome. That actually makes a lot of sense that Nyla would be into Guar.
Yeah.
It all kind of fits together.
She like pushed right by us to go further up in the pit than even Eric and I were. And I was like, all right, have fun.
Yeah. Good luck. Godspeed. Power bomb some people. We'll catch you later.
Yeah. I was looking for a beast bomb in the pit. didn't quite happen, but somebody beast bomb. It was, you know what? I'm going to be a crotchety old man for a second, if I may, on my soapbox.
Yeah, by all means.
I fucking hate crowd surfers, man. it's rude. It's just rude. It's selfish. It just causes mayhem and injury, and it knocks my glasses off, and now they're like, I know for the video you can see how fucked up the fucking thing
the
is
frame there. Is
the frame
is,
and I got a big scratch on them. I'm lucky I found them, and it definitely could be worse, but fucking selfish ass crowd surfers. I never liked crowd surfers, even when they don't knock off my glasses. Fuck
some
off.
Some venues ban them.
I know.
And
rightfully so. I've only been anti-crowd surfer, actually. This is not a new stance for me. It was just intensified after last night's situation. But you know what? Fuck off, crowd surfers. You know, I don't care who I offend. Taking the hot takes this morning.
Well, let's go ahead and get into some hot takes because,
crowd
Chris,
surfing cunts.
The week of all weeks is here. We've made it. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we've found our way once again into WrestleMania week. A whopping 57 shows.
Ugh.
In the Philadelphia, New Jersey area.
Oh, yeah. Right,
because some people are saying, quote unquote, greater Philadelphia area. They're in Jersey.
Look, there's only so many dinky bars where you can fit a ring. So, you know, you got to expand your horizons a bit.
And I will say this list of 57, shout out Voices of Wrestling for doing the Lord's work and pulling them all together.
Always thorough, those guys.
This does not include things like Becky Lynch doing a signing of her book or WrestleCon, which is going on for multiple days. It has the shows, of course.
Sure.
For WrestleCon, but not like, oh, day one.
The other events.
The 4 days of WrestleMania World, the WWE convention that they are now doing, which is really
Access.
It's just an expanded version of Access, really.
Yeah.
You know, Wale Mania, the Undertaker is doing his fucking one man show. If you are at all interested in professional wrestling, there's probably something for you in the Philadelphia region over these next few days, because shows start tomorrow.
I can't wait to not be in Philadelphia this week. I'm just very excited for that.
Yeah. The traditional Philadelphia pee smell will be met by wrestling nerd smell. And considering, like I said, all this stuff starts on Monday. By Sunday, it's going to be a ripe city.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, wrestling fans kind of smell like pee in their own right, too. So you're doubling down on the pee.
Yeah. Yeah. But lots of stuff going on, lots of shows going on. I mean, you know, your standard bearers of GCW doing the collective, but we've also got companies coming over from Japan, Tokyo Joshi Pro, Stardom, DDT, Dragon Gate. Like, it is the literal world converging on one spot, all to take advantage of a 2-day WrestleMania weekend.
I would like there to be some sort of centralized, you know, like the World's Fair sort of situation that brings in people that would, you know, back in the day, bring in people from all over the world for a single event. And then they would build a Sun Sphere, which would eventually get filled with wigs. So we need one of those in Philadelphia.
The Philadelphia Sun Sphere. Let's make it happen.
It'll be filled with expired bags of Cheese Whiz.
I figured bags of batteries to be given out to Eagles fans at all future. Every night at an Eagles event is battery night.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, I guess it's better than what was it was Tomato Day at Springfield Municipal Stadium.
And then it was Pretzel Day.
Pretzel Day. It was better than something. Didn't he say it was better than something else day, or was that Pretzel Day?
I think it was Pretzel
Day. Pretzel Day. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
If you throw soft pretzels at me, like those big salted, like German pretzels, you can cover me up in those and I'll eat my way out.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's 9:30 in the morning. You just brought up a pretzel. I'm game. Let's do this fucking thing.
Now, here's the important question.
Yes.
Are you mustard with your big, soft, chewy, salty pretzel?
Or cheese? Mustard, but okay. I can go either way. Like I can raw dog.
Can you?
Yeah. I can raw bet dog a pretzel. Yeah. Just deep throat that.
Manly man, you.
Deep throat that pretzel.
Okay. Now, what kind of mustard do you use? If you choose mustard, are you going straight French's? You doing a stone ground? You doing a Dijon, a honey mustard?
If I have the option, which you don't always do. By the way, welcome to the Pretzel House. If I have the option, I prefer a spicy brown.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah, me too. Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to deal with what's there.
Sure, like, you work with what you got.
Yeah, the Auntie Anne's isn't going to give you, like, a variety of mustards. It's going to be, like, they have a mustard, and then for some reason, like, you know, sweet options.
I don't mind a sweet and salty combo there, like some kind of you know, like a chocolate type sauce. I'm not mad at that. Not like a full on Hershey syrup, because that's too sweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But something akin, something adjacent, something similar, if you will. If you will. So yeah. Now I want a pretzel.
Yeah.
Well, Son of a bitch.
I wonder what pretzel places are open on Easter Sunday.
I don't know, the atheist ones.
Oh, all right.
I think Annie Ann's is an anarchist, not an atheist. I'm not sure.
Okay. Wetzel's Pretzels, I mean, it is their slogan, Wetzel Pretzels, dedicated to finding and killing God. So, well, you know,
we can circle back to Philadelphia Pretzel Company.
There we go. Hell yeah. And
I think there's one up here. I'm looking into that today.
Turn into Jay Leno at the end there.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about these pretzels? The
question is, Chris, have you seen and or heard the big WrestleMania angles from Monday Night Raw this week?
I saw a thing or two.
Okay.
But, you know, I still don't know a lot of the matches that are happening. And apparently it hasn't been announced what matches are happening when, aside from the big ones.
Yeah, I do have the list. Thanks to the magic of Wikipedia, we have 12 matches, and three of them have been designated the night as of this recording.
Okay.
But if you ask, especially the WWE pilled stands of the internet, the Attitude Era is back, motherfuckers.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And I will say the two big key segments from Raw this week were in the vein of what you would see in the Attitude Era. The two segments people were talking about, one was a three-way promo segment between Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk, where Punk announced he will be doing commentary for the Seth Rollins-Drew McIntyre match on night two, and a extended beatdown segment at the end of the show.
Yeah, emphasis on extended.
Yeah, where The Rock pummeled Cody Rhodes in the rain, swearing up a storm.
Mm-hmm.
And also, probably for the first time in some time, having Cody blade and bleed all over himself.
Extended is an appropriate word there because it went on way too long.
Yeah.
All Dwayne said was the same three things over and over again. It was very drawn out. And yes. I don't know. It seemed very try hard to me. Let's get edgy here. I'll smack you with your own belt and put your blood on it and talk about your mother for some reason.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was Dwayne's social media post of the unedited beatdown that continued after they went off the air with Dwayne, you know, learning a new four-letter word and then motherfucking it into the ground.
Yes.
To me, obviously, my bias is well documented on this show.
Sure.
It was very cringe, very trying edgelord, I think is the word I'm looking for here.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And it was not effective for me, but good Lord, the stands out there are losing their fucking minds.
Yeah. I think I fall a bit more in the middle. I think it was an effective angle if you're building to The Rock versus Cody Rhodes, which is not a match that's happening this coming weekend. But I digress. It was a very effective angle that just kept going.
Yeah.
It took them
from the ring all the way out to the bus. And then once they were in the bus in the rain, like,
it was another 5 minutes after that. Like
the same thing over and over again. Oh, whip him with the belt and say something about his mother and whip him with the belt and blah, 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 blah. You know, fucking hell.
I mean, I think it is kind of a microcosm of the current Dwayne run, which is some of it's very good, but there's so much of it.
Yeah,
that the pockets that work are brought down just by sheer length of time.
Sheer
like
volume.
You look at the promos he was doing on Instagram. He did one that was 20 minutes long.
Who's fucking watching that?
I'm sure as shit not. But then he did another one that was 12 minutes long. I watched part of that one, and it was the only thing I will say that I really enjoyed about it was beyond the fact that he was wearing a cowboy hat, and it kind of reminded me of Homer with the foam hat and the air horn.
With the hidden camera in it?
Yes,
or the other one? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He threw out the phrase because he was talking about like how people are saying, you know, he swears too much, standards and practices are bleeping him and all that. He said,
they exist, Dwayne.
He said to Cody, Seth, and standards and practices, off is the direction you can fuck, which is just a great line. But
off on is the whole. Off is the direction in which you can fuck, is, I think, properly grammaticized there.
But he basically, even in that promo, is repeating the same idea 7-8 times.
Yeah.
And the effectiveness is lost. No different than the beatdown, I thought was good. But then you get to this They Live Peter Griffin grabbing his knee level of just fucking hell, guys. Like, it's too many beats too long.
Yeah.
As we all learned in the MC Hammer edition of Behind the Music, you need a no guy. You need one guy in your life that just says, hey, you know what? No, no,
yeah.
No. And that's not happening here.
No, Dwayne's kind of steamrolling, it seems. Oh, he's definitely, I mean, not it seems, he's definitely steamrolling, because he put himself in this main event. He's essentially, I don't understand, because Roman Reigns is there.
Yes.
He's able to compete. He's able to get physical. And yet, yeah, Dwayne's doing fucking everything. And, you know, if this leads to Dwayne turning on Roman or reversed or something like that, okay, you know, you stole my spotlight, you know, I'm the tribal chief, you know, what the fuck ever, the tribal chief on a pole match, who gives a shit?
Yeah, the storyline that was going to happen if the whole we want Cody thing didn't occur.
Yeah, I don't know.
And by the way, I've already seen some people, including people who should know better, like Dave Meltzer, already pontificating on whether or not it makes sense for Cody to lose again.
Well, I mean, I still think there's a good chance he does.
I mean, at this point, I don't fucking know. Like, I
don't care.
Last year, I thought for sure he was winning. Yeah. This year, it would make sense for him to win. But considering they had him not win and it increased business, I'm sure there's someone in Paul's ear just going, hey, why don't we just try to drag it out another year?
And then there's the whole record thing, the length of the title run that's,
right,
you know, would have to take him through this Mania into at least, I don't know, at least SummerSlam, if not later than that. I don't remember the dates for the record, but, you know, they're not going to get another chance to do this long of a that's a lie. They definitely could. I'm not saying it's a good idea for them to.
Cody just signed an extension, so if they want to, they could just have him be champion for a very long time.
Yeah, they can have him.
But as
I'm okay with that.
As
can we send Dustin over there too with the Hardys? can we just you know, put him on a rocket and just, you know, crash it into Titan Tower?
Yeah, for some reason Justin Roberts is strapped to that too. I don't know what's going on.
We'll
talk more about
that. We'll send the rocket through the fireworks factory on the way there, and then land into a pillow factory, which is then imploded.
So that was the big angle we were talking about. The other one was, of course, like I said, the Drew Punk Seth three-way promo, which is basically like, we're shooting, brothers. And
so is Punk still involved in this because the feud was with Drew before his stupid injury?
Yes, exactly.
Was the feud going to be with Drew, or is the feud with Drew because of the injury?
There was going to be a feud with them in general. Although at a point, the Mania match was going to be Seth versus Punk.
Right.
So I think the idea was, coming out of the Rumble, there would be the Drew Punk feud, that Punk vanquishes him in the Elimination Chamber, wins the shot, goes against Seth.
Okay.
But of course, Punk, his arm blew up, and therefore
he's a frail man.
Do so.
Drew McIntyre, who, by the way, has not re-signed.
Still has not re-signed, but at the same time, putting himself in the best possible position to re-sign, because
get that bank.
He's really fucking good on the mic right now.
Yeah.
I have to give him all the credit in the world, because of those three guys, he was the one who, in my eyes, was least embarrassing on the microphone.
Seth's always pretty cringe, and Punk is just sad. So
yeah. And again, it's one of those things where it's a beat too long and a little winky and a little shooty and you know, all this bullshit.
Well, didn't Punk reference Vince McMahon? Not by name.
Yes. Yes, he took a moment in the promo, which was not scripted. The promo apparently was just bullet points each guy was given. They just let them run, and, well, we saw how that went, for good or for ill. he said to Drew, you know, who was the chosen one? Or you were the chosen one. Who chose you? What was the name? Who chose you? I was trying to get him to say Vince McMahon on fucking television.
Why do you think that's a good idea? Why would he think that that's, you know, something that needs to be addressed right now? Like,
yeah, well, it's probably the same fucking logic of Booker T making up a fight backstage with CM Punk where it's like, oh, well, we're talking about it right now. It's the most work. Drew McIntyre, though, again, a killer line. He said, for a guy who doesn't drink, smoke, or do anything else, you sure do spend a lot of time in rehab. So props to Drew on that one.
You don't drink, you don't smoke. What do you do? You don't drink, don't smoke.
But Punk said he's going to be, after teasing being special referee in a number of different things.
How can you count if your fucking arms exploded?
He's got two arms, Chris.
Yeah, but you need the other one to hold yourself up while you're counting. I'm not trying to say that disabled people can't do our jobs. You cannot have a one-armed referee.
Well, there's nothing that says you can't in the WWE rule book, and there's also nothing in there that says a dog can't play basketball. So I think really anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. Didn't he play a lot of
sports? Wasn't there a baseball airbud too?
I believe you're correct. I think he even wrestled Johnny TV at a point.
Of course he did. Sidetrack to Johnny TV. Did you watch him on AEW? I know we're jumping, but.
I did, yes.
There was some good comedy in there.
Yes. Yes. It's very, very good. Yeah. I mean, as always, one of the best things that AEW produces, in my eyes, it goes Dynamite is the A show.
Yeah, sure.
AEW Collision, then Rampage.
Yeah.
that is the order of watchability there.
Then any being the YouTube show at the very bottom.
Right. Right. So yeah, he's gonna be doing commentary. Punk's gonna be doing commentary on the Drew Seth match. Here's what we've got right now. Again, night one, the bloodline of The Rock and Roman Reigns against Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. If Rhodes and Rollins win, all members of the bloodline are barred from ringside during the championship match on night two. If Rock and Reigns win, championship match on night two will be held under bloodline rules, which just means anything goes.
They should call them the Rock and Reigns Connection.
I like that
a lot. I like that more. Better than bloodline.
And then
bloodline was a good Slayer song. It was on the Dracula 2000 soundtrack.
Vitamin C in that movie. Night two, Drew and Seth for the World Heavyweight Championship. Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes for the Undisputed WWE Championship.
Right. And
then here's everything that is signed but does not yet have a night. We've got Io Sky defending the Women's Championship against Bayley. We've got Rhea Ripley defending the Women's World Championship against Becky Lynch.
Who, I don't know if you caught this, apparently at one of her signing Q&As, she was asked about her contract status, and it's apparently up soon, and she has not been offered a new deal.
Which is fucked.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
How do you?
Between her and Drew right now, it's like, oh, two people who are having great fucking runs, we're just going to let them consider free agency right now.
Right. I mean, look, I don't think that AEW needs any more people at this time.
No. But
if Becky Lynch is on the table, you fucking grab that shit.
Yeah. I mean, what would it be for Drew McIntyre to come out like 2 weeks after his contract's up on a Dynamite and motherfuck Punk? Like, it's right there. And it's not like it's blowing up the NDA. He's saying his storyline.
Yeah.
Very, very weird. Like it should be a level of like Becky and Seth, like just open like the closet in their hotel and Paul's there with a contract.
Right. And that's what it should be. Yeah. At this point,
they go to get breakfast.
Yeah.
And then the table next to them, the menu comes down and it's Paul with a contract and a pen.
Yeah. They call an Uber and Paul's driving it. Like, you know,
hey, why don't you sign this?
Yeah.
Just constantly chasing them around.
Becky's in the bathroom. He's like, oh, you need toilet paper? Here's a contract. He slides under the door.
brown burgundy with the jazz. I'm sorry, jazz flute level just sliding in.
Yes. Mr. Burgundy.
Oh,
I couldn't.
Gunther is defending the Intercontinental Championship against Sami Zayn. The six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. We have all six teams, as the Judgment Day of Finn Balor and Damian Priest will be defending against DIY of Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay.
The Awesome Truth of The Miz and R-Truth.
All right.
The New Day of Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods.
Yes, it is.
A-Town Down Under of Austin Theory and Grayson Waller.
That is the worst fucking tag team name I've ever heard in my life.
It's as bad as that fucking cell from last week of Austin Theory taking the stunner into the RKO.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, the New Catch Republic duo of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
That's also a stupid name.
LA Knight.
Where are you going to fit the Hardys in there? I'm just trying to will them back to WWE because I really don't want them
I'm sorry to say that Matt Hardy on his podcast, where he seemingly says stupid things every week, he did say that he has a contract from AEW that he has not signed yet.
Don't fucking sign it.
Yeah.
Fucking do it.
Yeah. How much do you think it would cost us just to sign him ourselves and just make it so?
just to, like, you know, just imprison him. How much can we pay to imprison him in the compound and never be on wrestling TV again? And his brother.
LA Knight and AJ Styles in a singles match. Winner gets to have initials as their first name. Jay Uso and Jimmy Uso.
Jimmy versus John Uso.
Yeah, Jimmy John Uso against Jimmy Jay John Uso. Jimmy John Uso, Jay Leno Uso.
Uso versus Jersey Mike Uso.
And all the proceeds are going to Special Olympics. It's a very special match.
Or to Big Game Hunting, depending on which one wins.
Logan Paul defending the U.S. Championship against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens in a triple threat.
Okay.
The random, I don't know, they're all the same six-man tag of Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi.
Oh, boy.
Against Damage Control of Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane.
So it's the, never mind.
Yeah, where your head's going is.
Yeah, no, it's
what it feels like is the thought process here.
I thought we had moved past that, but.
Yeah, you know. No, it's. Just, hey, what do these three people have in common?
Is Bruce Pritchard still around?
I believe so. I did not hear of him departing. And then a tag team match of Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee against Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. That could actually be a dark horse match.
Is Santos Escobar teaming with Dominic Mysterio? Aren't they in different factions?
They are different factions, common enemies, though. Because Dragon Lee beat Dominic for the NXT North American Championship. Lee has subsequently lost it. Of course, he still has heat with his dad.
Sure.
And Santos Escobar has been in a feud with Rey. So,
I mean, hey, Dragon Lee on a WrestleMania is pretty cool.
Yeah. If there's anyone who's going
Santos Escobar
to kill himself for your show, it is Dragon Lee.
Yeah, I mean, King Cuerno at WrestleMania. Who would have seen that coming?
Certainly not I. If you are going to WrestleMania and you are within the first six rows, just know you may catch a tope from Dragon Lee.
Yeah, for real.
But the good news is, if you catch him, you get to take him home. So it's going to be
right in your pocket. It's a little fella.
You can just feed him M&M's. He'll be fine.
No peanuts, though. He has an allergy. Just regular M&M's.
Well, speaking of other shows with a whole bunch of talent on it. New they Japan.
I thought they all signed an AEW now.
Well, that's why they have to do shows like this. New Japan, as a part of United Japan Pro Wrestling, is doing a show on May 6th at the Budokan Hall. Cheap Trick's gonna be opening, and it's New Japan.
Ozzy had a good live record at the Budokan too, actually, before he went to downhill and can't perform.
Yeah,
I took it sad.
No, it's okay. We're talking about New Japan. It's gonna start good and then sad. Yeah,
we're definitely in the 2010s Aussie level of New Japan right now.
But New Japan, Pro Wrestling Noah, DDT, Dragon Gate, Big Japan, and Stardom all will be on this here show.
Everybody but All Japan, or did you say All Japan?
All Japan is seems to be the lone major holdout.
Okay.
But three matches announced for it. Unsurprisingly, it's a bunch of tags. But we've got Shota Umino, Kaito Kiyomiya from NOAH, and Yuki Yeno of DDT against Yuya Yamura of New Japan, Kanasuke Takeshita of AEW and DDT, and Dragon Gate's Shun Skywalker.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Which is basically just like, here's all the hot young talent in one match.
Yeah.
We got the Beefy Boy tag, as it's Tomohiro Ishii and Big Japan's Daisuke Sekimoto, who I think you, Chris, would absolutely love.
Okay.
He's just a big, dumb, beefy boy who does Germans.
Hell yeah, brother.
And they're going against the duo of Jeff Cobb and NOAH's Masa Kitamiya.
Okay.
Again, another beefy boy.
Beef, yeah.
And so then we've got the trio of presidents as New Japan's Hiroshi Tanahashi, DDT's Senshiro Takagi, and NOAH's Naomichi Marufuji go against Evil Ren Narita and Yujiro Takahashi, because we cannot avoid the House of Torture.
Good God. I mean, hey, they're nothing but true to their name.
Yes.
Because everything involving them is fucking torturous.
The first two of those three matches should actually be really, really good.
And,
you know, that's enough to make me want to check out those parts of the show. I will say, credit where credit is due, Yota Tsuji won the New Japan Cup.
Yes.
And more crucially, at the end, he cut a promo where he said the rain has cleared up, wink, wink, and he is ready to lead the new era of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
So it's him against Naito at Sakura Genesis, which is next weekend, along with everything else we were just talking about, the 57 shows, and we got New Japan. We also... we'll talk about a little bit in AEW. We also have another AEW CML crossover show on the Friday night. So Friday night is Rampage, the CML AEW thing, and Ring of Honor at the same time. Oh, and SmackDown.
And SmackDown. Yeah.
And the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Why the fuck not? The Andre Battle Royal is going to be on SmackDown again. So, yeah.
On SmackDown again.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet about this and I did get a chuckle out of it. The fact that Andrade was so unhappy with where he was in AEW that he jumped back to WWE and then didn't even make the WrestleMania card and is stuck in the Andre on fucking SmackDown is kind of hilarious.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you can't spell Andrade without Andre. So let's make it happen.
I mean, you're technically correct.
It's the best kind of correct.
The same way you can't spell stained without sad. Or apparently racist these days.
You know what? I refuse to go ahead with change, so I'm just going to hit this button.
Ah, yes. That's music I recognize.
AEW this week, a lot going on.
Bring the boom.
As they were in Kanata this week.
Oh, yeah. Little Quebecois.
But in addition to three shows from Canada, a bunch of the boys went down south and had themselves a lucha match in CMLL. As it was the Blackpool Combat Club of Brian Danielson, Claudio Castagnoli, and newly bald John Moxley.
Oh, Mox was there too?
Yeah, he shaved his head officially, by the way.
It's a good look.
Yeah, it's about time for him. And don't get me wrong, I'm having some thoughts myself.
Do it, brother. Let's go. We'll be bald brothers.
Wheeler Yuta was unable to compete. Don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, he hasn't had a match in some time. He's probably, I guess,
January 10th was the last match he had.
I mean, that's almost 3 months.
He's not able to travel, which makes me think it's a concussion.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, some kind of blood clot. Matt Sydal filled
Thrombus.
In. Matt Sydal filled in for Yuta, and it was a main event of the CMLL
Why
show.
Why the fuck Matt Sydal?
I don't know.
Nothing better to do on a Friday night and a passport that was in operating order.
I will say this. He was a lot of fucking fun.
I mean, I guess a flippy guy works in CMLL, so yes. I guess that makes sense. But with the Blackpool Combat Club, aside from being white, that's kind of the the only common thread they have here.
Well, those four guys, Willow Nightingale, who also had a match on the show. She was part of a six woman tag.
Okay.
And Bryce Remsburg, my close personal friend.
Yes.
they all went down to Mexico. Bryce reffed Arena Mexico.
Wow.
For that main event. So in a 1 week span, one calendar week span, Bryce Remsburg was the referee for the I Quit match between Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, was the special guest referee for a Super Art Fight show at ZenkaiCon, and then went to Arena Mexico to ref the main event, as it was that AEW group against Místico Volador Jr., Blue Panther, 63 years young Blue Panther, and Ultimo Guerrero. And I watched the match Saturday morning because they broadcast it live Friday night. There's actually a YouTube subscription you can get if you wish to watch it, but it's very pricey, $35 a month for the live.
Good lord.
Yeah. But I watched the match. It was really fucking incredible.
Okay.
The atmosphere was off the charts.
I saw Brian's intro and he was mega over.
Yeah.
Even though they're working heel, though, right?
Oh, yeah. And they were not afraid to be absolute assholes the whole match.
Good for them.
But he and Blue Panther, apparently Brian's wanted to work Blue Panther his entire career. So
makes sense.
When Blue Panther was, 40 years old, as opposed to the current 63. Blue Panther, though, you put that mask on, it looks like, he hasn't aged a day. And in ring, he was still killing it. So post-match, they actually set up for this coming Friday night, Bryan Danielson against Blue Panther one-on-one. So
my guy's getting it in. He's
He is checking off every remaining box.
Yeah, all the dads, all the foreign grandpas. It's like the beat up old foreign men tour 2024.
I'm for it. I'm for it. But all that, of course, is on the route to Dynasty, as he will be facing Will Ospreay in the big match on that show. And we had a lot more build for Dynasty on this week's Dynamite.
Is Dynasty in Dallas? Because that would be very confusing.
Unfortunately, it is not. It is in St. Louis. So.
Okay, all right.
So we're going to be okay. So
Randy Orton's popping up. That's why they're doing it there, right?
We'll see. Is his deal up too?
Probably.
Does Paul? Maybe that's it. Paul has too many people he needs to re-sign. He can't be in everyone's hotel room at the same time.
You know, Randall Keith is, right there. So he'll be re-signing. He ain't going nowhere.
He's right there saying the N-word on Twitch. Anyway, Will Ospreay.
Like Kenny Omega calling Adam Cole a cunt on Twitch. I'm like, that's my guy. Right next to Makihito. Not Makihito. Riho.
Riho, who, by the way, chumped Adam Cole in Street Fighter VI.
Oh, did she? Good for her.
Yeah. I'm just saying one of those two is a quote unquote professional gamer and the other one is not.
Oh boy.
Anyway,
Adam Cole just eating up L's everywhere, man.
Dynamite kicked off with Will Ospreay against Katsuyori Shibata.
Yeah, fucking did.
And I don't know about you, Chris. I had a brief out of body moment where I'm like, okay, it is the year 2024.
Yeah.
I'm watching the Superstation. And it's Will Ospreay against Katsuyori Shibata. Will Ospreay, who was,
in America.
In Canada. America.
North America.
Yeah. Shibata, just a few years ago, we thought was basically dead.
Yeah. They removed his brain.
Yeah. And instead, they were out here just beating the piss out of each other on live television.
I want Shibata to come out with a little jar of formaldehyde with some organ tissue in there. Say, it's not so bad, Will. They let you keep the part of the brain they take out. They go up through the nose. Just take a little chunk.
The Simpsons references are at an all-time high today. I just want to say. I'm not mad about it.
Look, I'm just trying to give everybody some re-education.
This match was awesome. What I thought was particularly funny was during the beginning of the match, it looked like Will was trying to be a little gentle on the head of Shibata.
at the beginning of the match.
Yeah. But then smash cut to the finish where he does a hidden blade and takes out Shibata like he owes him money, just fucking murks him with it.
I think the first one, I think the
power of pro wrestling made the second one look worse than it actually was contact wise. It looked to me as my armchair, you know, booker over here. It looked to me like the first one hit harder. But the second one just Shibata sold the shit out of it. If it was a sell or legit, or, you know, he went into the shadow realm for a couple minutes, I'm not sure. But yeah, it was a hell of a match. Some great, you know, the fighting spirit spots and some false finish, like kick out at one, each had one of those, and some just brutal kicks.
Yeah. They were just absolutely demolishing each other. Which, hey, totally cool with it. We had a video package, for Bryan Danielson's career and the match at Dynasty.
Okay.
I will just say this, and I don't know if you feel similarly.
Is it about Excalibur's voice?
No.
Okay. Then we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that. There were a lot of video packages on this show.
There were.
And it did not feel overwhelming. It felt like we are underlining, we are highlighting the key beats of the story.
It's like somebody listened to the Schlegel Soapbox.
Yeah. Turns out they listen. But yes, Excalibur was doing his serious ESPN commentator voice.
Hate it. No, it's so jarring. Like, I couldn't pay attention to what he was saying because all I could focus on was, like, he was doing, like, the Owen Hart voice. I'm like, don't be serious. Like, that is
the, I will say this.
Do it. Have Tony Schiavone do it.
I will say this. It also had a real vibe of, we're recording this at 3 a.m. in a hotel room, and Excalibur doesn't want to wake anybody up. Like, look,
go into a conference room, the fucking hotel. Then
no disagreement. No disagreement.
It was very weird. I did not care for it. It actively pissed me off.
Yeah, and you say that as someone who's typically a fan of Excalibur.
I am a fan of Excalibur when he's being Excalibur. That's not Excalibur.
Yeah. But beyond that, I thought it was a good video package. Renee Paquette was in backstage with Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. Talking about how they were looking forward to making up for their loss against Private Party in one of the first episodes of Dynamite in that tag title tournament. Said they return AEW to do three things: retire Sting, restructure the Elite, and then get their tag titles back.
And they're all out of bubblegum.
Yes. They asked where Alex Marvez was and told Renee she should smile more. So,
yeah, I mean, I get it, but it's also kind of icky.
Okada was then shown arriving to the arena in his Ferrari with his Continental title. That was filmed the week before, by the way.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we had the Young Bucks against Private Party for the first round of the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament. The EVP trigger got blown, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I thought it was really good. They called back the finish from the first match for some reason. I think it was Quen decided to eat a fucking falcon arrow off the video board on the floor. Yeah,
to the floor. That was brutal.
Good Lord. I don't know why that was a thing. Much like the promo, I thought the match maybe went a beat or two too long. But I thought it was very good, and the Bucks ended up getting the win. I don't know that the Bucks needed the win here, but I guess it's probably leading to them putting, you know, another team over later on in the tournament.
Would hope so.
Honestly, they could probably drop to OC and Trent next week.
That'll be fun.
More on where we are with the tournament later on in today's episode. We got a video package putting over Takeshita before his appearance in the evening main event. Exactly. Same thought. Like, oh, okay, you're putting things over. You're underlining who this guy is and why he is unfuckwithable.
Yeah.
And you made him a threat. And then Mercedes Moné was shown arriving to the arena at probably 8:30, almost 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Just saying. Like, I know you got Daniel Bryan out there finding people for what they do on social media, but what about these folks who show up so goddamn late? I mean, Okada wasn't even on the show. So I get it. Like, he can show up late.
What he's just there to see his friend. He was backstage watching the show that he was totally in Canada for.
Well, yes. However, he showed up at like 8:15. So
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, all right, like, I get it. He's not really on the show. He can show up late. Mercedes, she's got a job to do. Maybe if she'd actually read her pre-show notes, she would have provided something on commentary. But I digress.
Yeah.
Darby Allin on crutches was hanging out with Tony Hawk as they talk about Tony's charity, the Skate Park Project. Apparently, the climb of Mount Everest was supposed to be in support of that charity.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That was not any detail. Yeah,
that was not mentioned anywhere before now.
Right. So that would have been nice to know.
So instead of him climbing Mount Everest, they decided to, I don't know, give Tony's charity an appearance on one of the highest rated television shows on cable today.
Depending on who you ask.
Yeah, depending on who you ask. Certainly not Eric Bischoff.
Fuck that guy.
So, Renee Paquette was in backstage with Hook and Chris Jericho, and they were saying things, but I just sat there going,
Jesus Christ.
By the way, there's now a Lion Hook t-shirt on shopaew.com. If you want something to go next to your Bang Bang Scissor Gang shirt in terms of these people are breaking up any minute now.
If I ever see somebody in public wearing a Lion Hook shirt, I'm going to pick a fight with them and win. Yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely winning. this segment was just fucking death. Jericho just talking and saying nothing. Oh, you know, I know you. I know your dad. You were great. We were in the ring together as a team. And then I fought you. You dropped me on my head. Da, 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 if you want any advice. And the whole thing was, they teased this thing for next week. And then I was like, if you want any advice, come and ask me. Da, 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 I'm Chris Jericho. Fuck off. Go away.
Yeah. Yeah,
it really can we put him on the rocket too?
Maybe. The thing that I think is frustrating about Jericho right now is he's like starting to like quote unquote address the criticism, and he's like, "Well,
is he
people? Yeah. Well, hear me out. Like he's saying things on his podcast and when he does interviews and stuff. He's like, you know, people talk about how I don't make young talent. I put him over. Chris, the issue isn't that you lose to young talent. You do that. Bless you for doing it, because God knows you grew up in a generation where people in the spot you're in now would not do that for you.
Right.
The issue is it never fucking ends.
Yeah, it goes Hook on.
Hook beat him clean.
Yeah.
Last week. We did not need anything more. There was not an ellipsis at the end of the sentence.
No, it was a period.
Yeah. Jericho can go away. Hook can do something.
Yeah. Anything.
Anything. He can get up in Joe's shit again. He's like, I just beat an AEW world champion. He could get in Adam Copeland shit. Like there's a multitude of things that he could do.
I would have much rather seen Hook backstage eating a bag of fucking sweet chili Doritos than this whole thing with Jericho have happened. Yeah. Like that is more entertainment value. A dude eating Doritos backstage has more entertaining the value to me than Chris Jericho talking about nothing for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. Absolute mess.
Go away.
We had a four-way for the shot at the TBS title, AEW Dynasty. It was Willow Nightingale, Sky Blue, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue, Anna Jay, and Chris Statlander to get shot at Julia Hart. Mercedes Moné was on commentary for this match. I say that because you would need someone to tell you that, because she added nothing to the booth.
She said a couple words, I think. What they were, I don't know. She talked over, you know, people and talked when, you know, it was not good. This is not helping her out.
Yeah, it was
not going great for her.
It was as bad as I will say it. I thought this match was very good. All four women looked really good. Willow was beating the piss out of people in this match. Anna Jay looked like she actually knew where she was and what she was doing. I thought it was very, very good. So we are getting Willow and Julia Hart at Dynasty.
Okay.
Renee Paquette then backstage with Dustin Rhodes talking about how he's 3-1 in 2024. And he wants a match on Rampage. And here's the Butcher. Okay.
You could have just announced this match to happen on Rampage and not have me listen to a Dustin Rhodes promo.
But the only thing,
the rocket, add him to the rocket. It's a big fucking rocket. All right.
Yeah. Let's get Elon on.
Are there still any space shuttles that we could lease from, you know, the American government here?
Yeah. Can you make that happen? The only thing I will say, and look, I'm with you. I did not need an extended Dustin Rhodes promo on my television, but they were building a thing for Rampage, and they don't do that normally.
I don't, but what?
But granted,
it's like, not a thing I'm going to go out of my way to watch.
Right. Right. It's what they chose to build to. That's the problem. But I like the fact that they went, hey, we should try to make people watch our show on Friday.
I mean, look, I like Butcher. You know, he was a good who did he just pop out and wrestle last week?
Swerve.
So, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad that he's getting TV time because I thought he had been released at some point. I guess I was wrong on that. Yeah.
Just the bunny. The bunny's gone.
Okay.
Blade and Butch still there.
Okay. Well, good. I mean, you know, why aren't they in the tag tournament?
Great question. Great question. Timeless Toni Storm was then at TCM with Ben Mankiewicz, and once again they tried to get him to say tits out, and he was not going to do so.
Good for him for sticking to his morals. These are fun, though. I mean, obviously, we are the very niche target market for this.
It's us in RJ City.
Yeah.
There's an audience of three.
Yeah, pretty much.
RJ City is Mr. Bigging this. He's like broadcast for one particular group of doofuses.
That would be us.
Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta defeated the Undisputed Kingdom to advance in the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament. Match was fine. That said, Matt Taven did not land on his forehead, so nowhere near as good as the last time he went against Orange Cassidy.
I get an internal sort of feeling whenever I hear the Undisputed Kingdom music hit.
It's a very bad theme.
Well, not only, but just for what it associates them with. I mean, the music's associated with. It's a combination of the two, the bad music and then Matt Taven and Mike Bennett and Roddy Strong coming out.
Also, this bit just hit me. The whole thing in Adam Cole's story time promo last week was Wardlow needs to step up and help out the kingdom.
Yeah.
He did not help out the kingdom.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, Renee Paquette backstage with some random guy going to control. Sorry, Kyle O'Reilly. Not a random controller goer. Congratulated him on his win against Brian Keith. And, you know, he's not going to be joining the Undisputed Kingdom, and he's going to have a match on Collision. Now, here's what made me want to punch a wall.
Okay.
Appropriately so, last week on Schlegel's soapbox, Justin called out the stupidity of what they've done with him so far. Mm-hmm. They've made him look like shit. His promos are going nowhere. And this was another example of it was nothing. It was nothing. However, last Saturday night, not as in last night, but the week before, mm-hmm. Or maybe it was 2 weeks before at this point.
Yeah, there wasn't a collision last week.
Yeah. Anyway, the week he went against Brian Keith.
Yeah.
They did one of those online exclusive promos they've been doing on Twitter, which I just want to say for the record, again, if they listen like we think they listen, these are infinitely better than any and all of the backstage segments you do. Post these in the show. They don't need to just be on Twitter. Like, they're really good. So he, you know, he's all beat up and sweating. He's talking about, like, you know, wrestling hurts and you know, he had to fight hard and, you know, for as much as it hurt him to be back in the ring again, and he's feeling, you know, the pain of hitting the mat and all that, it's making him feel alive. Shibata comes out and extends his hand.
Oh.
Which I'm like, I want to see a Shibata Kyle O'Reilly thing. Like, let's do this. Instead, he's doing promos about nothing to no one while looking like a bum.
Well, looking like a bum.
What's the deal with Kyle O'Reilly?
Somebody get this man a comb.
But yeah, they trip over their own feet sometimes. And it drives me nuts. We had a highlight reel of the I Quit match, indicating that the Cope Open was going to be returning.
Stupidest fucking name ever.
Yes. And I don't know if you saw who he went against, Chris.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
You know it.
Then in the main event, Swerve Strickland, Kanate Takeshita, winner, becomes number one contender for the AEW World title.
Yes.
This, much like Shibata and Ospreay, I don't know that this is going to be on my match of the year list, but goddamn, is it cool to watch matches like this on television every week.
I very much enjoyed it. Not to the level of some of the other, you know, matches we've seen in the last month on Dynamite even.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, these two beating the shit out of each other, Takeshita working super heel.
Yes.
And Swerve working baby face is still a little weird, but I'm getting used to it.
Yeah.
Man, these guys were going at it.
Yeah. So awesome. God, like the bumps on the apron. The JML driver that I'm pretty sure legit murdered Takeshita for a few minutes there.
Yeah.
I mean, his
vertebrae checked out.
This was wild as hell. And you know, much the opposite of what Samoa Joe said at the end of the show. I think Swerve is that dude. I think he's ready. You know, I think if they strap him up, you know, at the pay-per-view later, or sorry, in April, I think the time's here. I think people are ready for it.
Yeah. I'm ready for it. I was ready for it a while ago, but
yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've been praising him for some time. So, but great match. My only thing is Takeshita's dropping a lot of L's for a guy who they're trying to make a thing.
It's true.
So
it's true. He's dropping L's to the top tier.
Yeah. He's dropping L's to Ospreay.
And he's looking great doing it. So
fair.
But I do get your point. Yeah.
Let's get him on Dynamite.
Get him
maybe
some
maybe not this week, but next. Let's get him some wins over people who count.
Yeah.
Maybe have him give Kyle O'Reilly his first L. Just saying. You know, there are things you can do
with have him beat Shibata.
Yes, have him beat
Shibata. I mean, Shibata's not here to win. Shibata's just happy to be in the ring.
Yeah.
It's like, have
him eat a JML driver.
Somebody
have that brain get removed one more time.
It's not so bad, Homer. They let you keep this piece of brain they take out.
Then Friday, we had this show.
I was not waiting on this show.
No, this was the most WWE velocity ass card they've ever had for Rampage. That's saying
something.
I'm just going to plow through the results. Dustin Rhodes defeated the Butcher. Mm-hmm. Deonna Purrazzo defeated a jobber named Rose.
Where were Blanche and Sophia and
couldn't get over the border. Get over the border.
Okay, all right.
Mariah May defeated Nikita. Again, another random jobber.
Was she LaFemme?
Apparently.
Okay. But not MAGA the Stallion.
No. Okay. And then Roddy Strong defeated Daddy Magic in an international title eliminator match.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a terrible fucking card.
Yeah. Not a lot of there. But last night of course, which brought us to Collision. From London, Ontario, Canada, a city.
Oh, Jobby, London, Ontario.
They don't like when you do that. Actually,
no.
a brief sidetrack. So, for whatever reason,
we can't do sidetracks on this show.
For whatever reason, for a few years in a row, the London Comic Con in London, Ontario, Canada, brought in Super Art Fight.
Oh, really?
And I learned in real time that they do not understand sarcasm.
Oh, well, that takes away half your arsenal.
Irony.
Oh boy.
Yeah. That was a real harsh learn in the first like 10 minutes of that show. I'm just, all right, let's throw that out.
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't work. Let's throw that out. Like I was saying stuff and they just took it seriously. It was not.
So it's a country of Drax the Destroyers.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, once I realized that, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I have to be genuine now. And it worked out. But
it was fun. They brought us back. We made some money.
By the way, what a shitty travel schedule for Danielson, Claudio, and at least Bryce, because I don't know if Mox popped up on the show. Because Collision was live.
Dang.
So they flew from Mexico City to London, Ontario. They had to jump the entire U.S.
Dang. Well, you know, these days, that's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, fair. But the show kicked off with the Cope Open, the TNT title on the line, and answering the challenge was Matt Cardona.
Woo, woo, woo.
Always ready, the deathmatch king.
You know it, bro.
Former Edgehead.
Yeah.
Matt Cardona.
I liked that tie-in.
Yes.
Was that reference at all?
I don't know. Like I did not get to see the show yet. Okay. But unsurprisingly, Adam Copeland retains. We did not get a Matt Cardona is all elite graphic.
Okay, good. No, that's fine.
As probably once again, a friend of Matt Cardona's was like, hey, I can defend the TNT title against this guy. And Tony's like, yeah, I guess. And the match happens. And Matt's like, hey, maybe we can work there again. Yeah, maybe we can.
Well, apparently, this is a tweet I read. Apparently, smart Mark Sterling, who is an AEW employee, didn't even know that Cardona was going to do it. And he like works on his show. They're like best friends.
That is amazing.
if his tweet is to be believed. He said he heard from Daddy Magic that your boy, he thought he saw his boy backstage. And Sterling thought he was talking about somebody completely different. And it ended up being Matt Cardona, which is hysterical if true.
I love that. Well, oh, and you know what? I need to look up this guy's name. All right. Wrestling Observer recapper, Suit Williams. Suit Williams is a man's name. I salute you. I'm going to read the description of the segment that followed
okay.
the Adam Copeland defense. Adam Copeland celebrated the win until the lights went out. When the lights came back up, it was not Sabu staring him down, but Malachi Black. Black spit out some black mist before Buddy Matthews jumped Copeland from behind. Mark Briscoe came out for the save before he's overwhelmed by the numbers. Eddie Kingston made his way to the ring and stood with Briscoe and Copeland. With the House of Black outnumbered, the lights went out again. No, Sabu did not come to help them. Black and Matthews bailed out. Suit Williams, I salute you.
He listens.
FTR was backstage with Lexi Nair, talking about how they're the favorites, but they're coming in cold since they just lost to Mox and Claudio at the pay-per-view. Dax Harwood said, while everyone loves the Cinderella story, FTR has to beat the Infantry tonight and become the first ever three-time AEW World Tag Team Champions.
Infantry.
Tony Schiavone brought out the Acclaimed for a promo. They're all serious because of the Bullet Club Gold stuff. There was a segment on Rampage this past week, apparently, where the Bang Bang Gang were in Billy Gunn's house. So he was losing his fucking
mind. Home Invasions. Cool. Yeah,
Home Invasions are back. Billy Gunn says he wants a one-on-one match with Jay White for Dynamite this week. So
okay,
that's going to be a thing. FTR ended up defeating the Infantry. Apparently a very good match, but
RIP Infantry.
Ricky Starks and Large William cutting a promo talking about how they're not looking past Top Flight, but Top Flight's number 16 seed while they're the number one seed, and they guaranteed victory, which
topical.
Well, would come back to haunt them. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe were backstage. They're all fired up, and they challenged the House of Black
House of Black.
A trios match at Dynasty. So it's going to be Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe against the House of Black at the pay-per-view. Of course, Mark takes the time to plug his world title match against Kingston this Friday at the Supercard of Honor pay-per-view.
Oh,
okay. Which apparently is 11 years to the day of Jay Briscoe winning his first Ring of Honor world title. So I think we know how that is going.
I'm perfectly fine with Mark Briscoe being the champion of a company that doesn't need to exist in 2024.
Yeah. I'm fine with it too.
Good for him.
Kyle O'Reilly ended up going against JD Drake, and he beat JD Drake, unsurprisingly. The Undisputed Kingdom again celebrated with Kyle O'Reilly.
Great.
By the way, Collision next week on at 11:30, meaning it will, well, sorry, tentatively 11:30, because it'll be after the late March Madness game and then probably whatever post shows after that. So,
oh, no. That's not because of March Madness. It's because he didn't want to compete with WrestleMania night one.
Hey, if you're a psychopath, guess what you get to do on Saturday? You get to watch New Japan at like 4 a.m. Then at like 3 in the afternoon, you get to watch NXT. Then you get to watch however many hours of WrestleMania Night 1, and then you get to watch Collision.
There's a sicko out there who will do that.
Their name is Dave Meltzer. That said, that guy's making six, if not seven, figures off of his little newsletter. So, like, yeah, I can understand.
Seven that. Figures, you think?
That's been said, yes.
And he still lives like that?
Look, man, some people don't are just weird. Tell
people how I live.
We got a video package announcing for Dynamite this week. The Battle of the Williams, Will Ospreay and Powerhouse Hobbs.
Oh.
So that should be really good.
Okay. Is Hobbs a part of, he's a part of the Callis family.
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah.
So that's the final Callis team member he has to beat.
Yeah. Last one left
before he beats other people.
I guess maybe he gets to beat up Don Callis at some point. Maybe
that'd be great.
Yeah.
Can we book that? Should have done that in Canada.
AEW, World Tag Team Tournament match. It was Top Flight against Big Bill and Ricky Starks.
Ricky.
An audible had to be called as Starks goes down to an injury.
Oh.
During the match, Top Flight ends up winning and advancing.
What kind of injury?
It came after a DDT, and he was not moving. He has subsequently today posted that he's okay.
Okay.
So, you know, that's positive. But apparently Starks and Bill were going to advance. Instead, Top Flight advances on in the tournament. Chris Daniels backstage challenging Malakai Black to a match on Rampage.
Okay.
Thunder Rosa defeated Lady Frost.
Okay.
Timeless Toni Storm, Mariah May, and Luther were backstage talking about how the top two contenders in the rankings are going to have a match on Dynamite, those being Thunder Rosa and Mariah May. But the point that most people will take away from this promo is Toni Storm kissed Mariah May on television.
Oh, my.
Yep. And then the main event was the Blackpool Combat Club of Danielson and Claudio and Katsuyoshi Prada against Lance Archer and the Righteous of Dutch and Vincent. Unsurprisingly, the BCC team won.
Why was this happening?
Because 2 weeks ago, there was the whole thing with Lance Archer and Claudio that ended up blowing up into a bigger to-do.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 weeks on Collision. But yeah, the faces won, and that was that. So Wednesday, here's what we've got for Worcester, Massachusetts.
Welcome to Worcester, Jodo 25, please.
At the DCU Center, where every time they've talked about a forthcoming Dynamite, I hear DC and get excited for a second and then go, oh, Massachusetts. So on the show, we've got the contract signing for Dynasty between Joe and Swerve.
Okay, at least it's with those two. Fucking those segments are always deaf.
They are. I mean, Swerve and Hangman had a really good one. So
fair, I guess.
If there's anyone I can trust to make it interesting, it's these guys.
Or if at least got a microphone, I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine.
But still, the whole contract signing gimmick is just fucked to death.
I understand. We got the Young Bucks of Matthew Nicholas Jackson against Best Friends in a semifinal of the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament. Winners go against the winners of Top Flight and FTR. Top Flight and FTR is probably going to be a very good match, by the way.
Yeah. Hopefully everybody's feet come out of there in the right direction.
Yeah. I will say, if I had my druthers, this would be a finals of OC and Trent against Top Flight. I have a feeling it's Bucks FTR again.
I really don't need that again.
Yeah, it's a good match.
It is, but it just diminishes what's already happened by doing it again, I think, at least so soon.
Number one contenders match for the women's world title, Mariah May versus Thunder Rosa. I would vastly prefer Mariah May to win this because I think we need to get to the fireworks factory there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Will Ospreay against Powerhouse Hobbs, which should be fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Billy Gunn against Jay White and Chris Jericho will call out Hook.
What? Why?
Who the fuck knows anymore?
Oh, God damn it. So about this rocket, can we get some jet fuel and
melt some steel beams? I think that's the way to go.
Oh, Jesus.
Whoa.
Not regular jet fuel, the kind that melts steel beams. Wow. Okay. All right. Are we still going or have we hit the button yet?
And button.
The Roughhouse Podcast is a weekly podcast fueled by coffee, pizza rolls, and the stench of dirty litter boxes. Follow Christoph and Marty on Twitter at RoughhouseSGW, at Facebook.com/TheRoughhousePodcast, and at Patreon.com/TheRoughhousePodcast for early access to episodes, exclusive podcasts, Roughhouse Redos, and Roughhouse Divided movie trivia games. New episodes drop every single Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Subscribe, motherfuckers!
This is the Roughhouse podcast with Justin and Christoph.
That's it.
Fuck Christoph. He's terrible with his information. Okay. Hey, this is The Rock. Shut your mouth, jabronis, and listen up, because this is the Roughhouse podcast with
Marty
and my least favorite man on the planet, Christoph.